journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. And welcome once again to Journeys with JP. Tonight, my guest is Nancy Hopkins because we are in the middle of a conversation. And, you know, last night on Wolf Spirit Radio, Nancy and I were talking. You can get her show off the archive, but we were talking about various things. I just want to continue these conversations. Like one, you know, there's a mineral, we're talking about pyramids, we're talking about remote viewing, all of those things that you're quite experienced yourself in, and, there's current news about. So, where do you want to hop in tonight, Nancy?
Oh, I don't care. We could start anywhere. Where do you want to go? Well, we could talk about Geller. He was just on the show.
Yeah, that was really exciting. I mean, it's like, well done, Sean. Nice one. I hope if you're listening, do enjoy yourself. That was a really good conversation. Really enjoyed that. So, Nancy, what was your take?
Well, first of all, I love it when people take the chance to go out there and just say, let's fix these watches. If more people would just try these things, you know, we'd find out what our abilities are. And I love it that he goes out there and does that. And of course, the success rate every time he does it is going to get more and more and more, because it's just the way energy works. You know, it's like accepting now, oh, I'm going to get my watch fixed. It was like I said to you, no, I couldn't find the watch, but I've got watches in the house. And I hope that when I find them, they will all be working, because at the moment of trying to find a watch to fix, you know, I just couldn't find it. But no, I'm sorry I didn't catch the whole show, but he was, he's been out there a long time and he's done a lot of good. So, you know, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Geller.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, on the number one talk radio station on the planet, Revolution Radio, Studio A and Studio B, which is where you'll find us, which is where you've found us. Revolution Radio, Studio B. So, now I don't know what that was all about. That was my girlfriend phoning me at the same time that I've got a show. Although we are in nightmare zone, in terms of programming. There's Wally. So, let's add Wally for the moment. Wally, if you just, hang on for a second. So we're in this time when, DST, like daylight saving time in America, changes for some reason at the beginning of March. And, we change at the end of March. So it's another one of those times I never know when, my shows always take me by surprise because I'm settling down and listening to something in UK and then boom, it's that time, and it's, we're an hour early, and, I just about made it onto the show. So, thank you very much for joining in, everybody. My guest tonight is, Nancy Hopkins. Wally, do you have something to report?
I didn't know you had a guest. In fact, you were on a little bit early here, because I just switched over from Ori Geller was fantastic on Sean's show, and Sean did a very good job of interviewing him. It was a wonderful show. But I just thought I'd pop on. I'll let you speak with Nancy a little bit, and I'll just kind of listen in. And I got a gift sent to me I'd like to talk about a little bit later. And but I just wanted to pop in and be part of your show once you're ready for some enlightenment.
Oh, okay. So if you could mute your mic though, just in case you might make noises. But for anybody who's calling in, and you can call in on Freedom Screen 2, and probably WolfSpirit.Switchboard 1 if Dave is awoken from his afternoon nap. Hi, Dave. Hello, everybody at Wolf Spirit. Hello, everybody in the chat room. So tonight we've got Nancy Hopkins, and we were going to continue our conversation regarding the revelations of Saint... what's his name? Oh, God. Saint, what's his name? That totally spoiled the joke there. Courtney, Saint Courtney, that's the one. That's not an easy name to remember, Courtney. So it's not really...
Courtney Brown?
Yes, Courtney Brown, Dr. Courtney Cox.
Brown. Saint Courtney Brown, okay. one thing that, because you just got into the question of the time element, right?
Yeah.
Dolores Cannon, who I've been, doing as much reading of her as I can, has a funny thing, because she's been told, of course, like the rest of us that are awakened, that time is just a delusion. And she was told by the people, that the guides or spirits or whatever, people that she works with, that humankind has gone out of its way to construct something that doesn't exist, a whole system, over time, because it doesn't exist. And the way she explained it was very interesting. She said, now imagine, Jay, that you and I are talking to one another, but we're not waiting 6 hours to communicate between conversations. It's instantaneous. And yet this contrived time concept has you 6 hours ahead of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So according to the construct that they're trying to restrain me into, I should think that I'm very late, but I'm in sync now with America.
Yes, I mean, we're always in sync. That's the key to it, because it's always even though you are 6 hours ahead of me, technically, by the way that we keep the clocks and stuff, we are existing simultaneously. We can have this communication. Even though there's 6 hours difference between us, we're in the same present. And we can see it because of the swiftness of the internet and stuff, but we're in the same presence. And I had never really thought in those terms, and I found it was very interesting. So we're always, you're always on time is basically the bottom line.
Yeah, there is no time like the present. In fact, there is no time but the present. And that's the gift. So we would continue this conversation, because the last thing that I remember speaking about, just before I closed my eyes, now, I was talking about the discrepancies that I saw even between the two remote viewers' view of the same thing, because... And indeed, the Courtney Brown interpretation of this thing was that the pyramids were built just because they were like a big pile of stones that prisoners moved from one side of the quarry to the other. And I don't know. I'm not very sure of that particular interpretation. So, on you go.
Audience, that we're talking about the far side experiment that went on between 08 and 13, and during it he was using 10 remote viewers, supposedly the best remote viewers, to go after targets that weren't really identified in the past, which was in fact the Giza pyramid structures, and then to go into the future. And that's what we got into the discussion yesterday, but that's what Jay's referencing right now, is that there is an introductory introductory video by Courtney Brown, and he's talking, showing little teeny bits of these guys doing a remote viewing thing. And so that, I just wanted to give that background to this audience. We kind of assumed it was the same people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very sorry. Yeah, so you can find this by going www.farsight.org. You'll see this video. It lasts about half an hour, so, you know, get a nice cup of tea ready. Put it on full screen, put the speakers on, music's all right. There's this symbol. It's interesting because they made the symbol of the project that very simple graphic of the pyramid that exists below the ground. That was quite an interesting thing because a lot of what we've been told is that the pyramid exists, but upside down as well, so like an octahedron underground.
Yes, you get an energy reflection. In other words, anytime you have a pyramid, my experimentation with them is that there's an energy reflection that goes right down into, you know, below it. It's like, yes, you know, a double pyramid on top, like a diamond thinking. You know, and every pyramid you have, that you end up with an energy, but it's energetic. It's not necessarily...
Yes, etheric, they say. Yeah. And my, my theory on that is, obviously building pyramids is you get certain mind patterns.
Blueprints. I call them downloaded blueprints.
Yeah, that sort of, but you get other information. And one of the pieces of information that I got was I'm trying to find the words for this. It's like an embodiment. If I took for instance, a garden gnome is the embodiment in concrete of the spirit that exists in another dimension.
Yes.
And if you put that in this dimension, it creates a portal for that being to actually sit in this place and exist both in its dimension and in our dimension as a manifestation. And so if you build a pyramid form, then that creates an inhabitation matrix, a form for another dimensional entity, which is actually an octahedron. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I think I've told you, but and for those who have heard it, you know, I'm sorry, but we built this pyramid that was actually it was in the Giza pyramid dimensions, and we set it up on top of a circular base, and that circular base was on poles that raised it up to 6 feet off the ground. So the whole pyramid structure was actually, we were operating in the lower portion of the pyramid.
Right. Now, Nancy, the circular part, was that by any chance, did you square the circle in sacred geometric terms?
I don't know because it's working by...
All right, so...
The base, if you shot down the base, and the base would have been... It would have been a little longer than the base of the Great Pyramid. I mean, it would have, the legs would have been a little longer in dimension because we didn't bother cutting the eight... We were using 8-foot copper piping. And so we didn't cut it down, and it would have been a little shorter than that. But
oh, I see. It wasn't even the 51 degrees. So that would make it. How was it? Would have probably made it 45 exactly. Yeah, it's got to be. It's 42 degrees at the bottom. The slope of the side of the. If you're making it out of rods, the slope of that side rod is 42 degrees at the base.
Right.
And the length is about 96% of the length of the... So if you're working with 8 foot, it'd be like 7 foot, 7'8" or something.
Right. And my experiences with what we were doing was that we weren't working with mathematics. We were working with energies. And so we would sort of like, does that feel right? You know, and it's hard to explain to most people unless you've done enough energy work. It feels like things kind of lock in. And so we basically took this pyramid, and then the circle was dictated by making sure that these that the bottom of the legs hit the circle. So instead of a square base, it was actually a circular base that it was sitting on. So of course the circle went out even farther than the base of the pyramid.
All right. So it was there were four pyramidical sides, but it was more or less describing a cone rather than a square pyramid.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's interesting. So it actually more had. You had your circle in that. You see, let me just blab on about, because this is an interesting little thing about what the 51 degree pyramid is about. And it's to do with sacred geometry, and it's to do with temple building. When they start building any temple anywhere in the world, it's got these two factors, and it's called squaring the circle. And what they do is, say you had, for instance, a 9-foot space, or your space room, maybe 10 feet, whatever. But your temple floor would be 9 feet, you know, 9 by 9. What you then do is you take the perimeter of that 9 by 9 and you make that the circumference of a circle. And that circle, being of a different form, but the same length, same wavelength, will have the same wavelength, allows the male and the female energies to combine. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's exactly what we built.
That's right, because that's, and in the Great Pyramid, the way that works is that if you were then to take the circle, say it was a big hula hoop type thing, and then lift it up and turn it sideways, the apex of the pyramid passes through the circle as it passes over the top of the pyramid. So that's the relationship. It's you have to go out another dimension in order to see how the relationship, what the pyramid is, but it's the form of it and the particular angles of that combine the male aspect, which is the square, and the female aspect, which is the implied circle between the two implied apexes.
Yes.
I just had to get that in. if anybody enjoys that one, because it is
science. Yeah. That's the thing, is that we come from a metaphysical kind of thing, but it's not metaphysics anymore, it's science. It's always been science.
Yeah.
But the metaphysicians were named kooks because the scientists didn't want anybody to understand the science. Yeah. But now it's all coming out. So even though I can say that we didn't do any mathematics, we didn't know what the hell we were doing, we were listening to spirits, we went and got all this stuff they told us to get, we put it up exactly like they told us to do it, and then we learned the science. But the stunning effects of having that kind of device goes back to how this started, when you started talking about the pyramids. Because by having this raised like this, we were actually working within the energetic bottom of the whole structure. And I've said this story, I've told this story before, but I had this friend of mine that was extraordinarily talented in visualizing and creating geometric shapes of all sorts out of copper. Some very intricate geometric forms he created. So he comes over, and we put one of these forms at the apex of the pyramid that's sitting on top of the circle. And then below it, to correspond with the energetic apex, in other words, something that's invisible, but below all this, we dug a deep hole, and he put a secondary geometric form in there. Now, I don't even remember what these forms were. And one of the things that strikes me as peculiar now, but I understand it, is we never took pictures of anything. And yet I was, you know, virtually a professional photographer for many years. And I think it's because of upsetting the energy somehow, trying to capture it. You had to go with the flow. Nobody ever took a picture of anything. And so I don't know what these geometric, I know what one of them is. I still have the one from the apex, but the one we buried in the ground, I don't remember what the shape was, what it was based on. So we put this in there, and I'm filling in the hole where we've got this thing, this form in there. And all of a sudden I hear him yelling in my head, run, run, run. So I yelled at him, run, and we started running away from the pyramid and what we had just done. But we were about 10 feet away when both of us turned around, and we're still moving away, but we're looking over our shoulders back at what's happening. And all of a sudden, I realized that my cat was still in the pyramid. And I start to run back, and just as I do, out of the corner of my eye, I catch something, and I turn quickly, and there was this white beam of light that was about 4 feet off the ground and was probably about 3 feet tall. And I don't know how dense it was, but you couldn't see through it. And it just flashed directly out of the south to the north. And when it got inside the pyramid, it went, it busted in half like a thunderbolt and went up and down at the same time. And there was never a sound. Now, the cat saw this. She was there when it happened, and she ran out of that pyramid. And she was, I swear, 20 feet from me when she went airborne. And the next thing I know, I got a cat with his claws in my shoulders, turned around looking from whence she had just run. So this right from the get-go, as soon as we set this geometric structure, turned into an incredibly powerful time-space vortex. I don't know what it was doing. But, I mean, I was there, and archangels showed up. Gnomes showed up. We would make, two dozen people would end up doing magical music. None of us, well, one of us was a musician. The rest of us knew nothing. But we had drums and flutes, and you felt connected to people on this earth and on other planets. And it was just a magical thing. But that was because we created a space to do it in. And, you know, that's... Anyway, that's what we did.
So pyramids are fun for a start. They one of the things that the effect of building a pyramid for me was is that I learned a lot. I learned about geometry, or I relearned it, or it kind of I knew this in school. They taught us this in school, because I knew that I wanted to do them just exactly. You know, I just wanted to. So I, and when I want to do something, I do a lot of research about something, because I need to know as much as anybody knows, as much as we've discovered so far, you know. So I look at pyramids. And of course, you know, we didn't have the internet then. And it's great because I can now share what I've found, about how to build pyramids on the web. And I even used to have a site called meditationpyramids.co.uk, but I think I was a little ahead of my time because it's only now that people are really starting to get into having a pyramid in their own home. So one of the things that I found about it was that it's a very civilizing thing. You have to learn a lot. You have to learn about geometry. You have to learn about tooling, how to cut an angle. How to cut a piece of material, be it wood or copper or whatever, or granite, at an angle that is accurate and that will remain, you know, just all the way along without going wobbly. When I use a pen and I try to draw things, I get these wobbles. All my lines, I'm never straight. I'm not a graphic artist or anything like that. It's very difficult to make these angles and do all these things. So I did as much research as I could, and I made up jigs and various things. I made some out of copper piping. They had octahedrons at each corner. At each bottom corner, there was an octahedron. So it was like a pyramid above and a pyramid below. And you plug the copper, your copper pipe into that. And it looked like a little space pod. It was really cool looking. And of course you could hang little things inside the smaller pyramids, which were made of 15 millimeter copper tubing. that had then you'd have a copper capstone. You know, I used to make these things. I could probably make one, and I could probably make a better one now. I've got a lot more experience in things. But I found that in building it, it stretched my mind and put it into order. And that was a really, it's a ceremony. In order to build the pyramid, you have to go through a ceremony, and that's an initiation. And that's the secret, and that's why one would encourage other people, if you want to advance your spiritual knowledge, bizarre as it sounds, build a pyramid. Because you have to explore mathematics, you have to explore geometry, you discover relationships, like the one I was talking about, the square and the circle, that they teach in the mystery schools. They teach in the Freemasons. They teach that, you know, that's the stuff that they, that's the secrets that they keep, all of these things. But it is possible to discover these secrets for yourself, or maybe you might have had a past life or two as a Freemason. Or
we were talking about the effect of the geometry and sound. You know, that the pyramid is only one geometric configuration that has its own sound to it. Now, it's a sound, a frequency that is found in a circle. It's different frequencies per circle, per, you know, the square. Everything has a different frequency, because in reality, the entire universe is based on this geometry. That's why it's called sacred geometry. Like, one of the more interesting things that happened back in 2011, I think it was, there were some Eskimos that started talking to the local television people, telling them that they believed that the moon and the sun were in a different part of the horizon, and they had you know, all sorts of reasons for it. And I tried to get people interested in discussing this, and nobody would. I mean, on some of the more way out groups, nobody wanted to touch this subject. And there were people who were not Eskimos but lived in the northern hemispheres, who, there was this one girl who called her mother, and she said, "I think I'm losing my mind. The sun is rising in a different place in the sky." And so there was all these little weird reports, you know. And so I'm like asking my guides, well, what could possibly be happening? And the only thing I could imagine was that the size of the earth had changed in relationship to the sun and the moon. And that made me realize that, okay, if we're getting changes in the actual physical size of something, it's got to be in relationship to something else. And so I kind of like was looking for, like, okay, what is causing the earth to suddenly start getting bigger? And that's when I found information by a guy by the name of Daniel, and he's supposedly part of the Black Science, that came out and gave some information. And I actually, the information just seemed right to me. And he was talking about how we're getting into the proton belt, and so the proton belt is feeding the sun, and the sun is actually getting bigger. And, you know, so, but it doesn't matter, because it's all relationship. If the sun gets bigger, then the earth gets bigger and moves farther away. Within the technical, because space really is relationship too. There's not standard space. You know, I mean, just like time is a relationship of place and space, well, space is a relationship of place and time. Even, I mean, it's all convoluted, as Dolores Cannon likes to say. But it's all geometry. Everything is geometry. And once you start messing around with one geometric shape, like the pyramid, every time you immerse yourself in that frequency, your DNA, the actual energy system that is you, begins to resonate slightly different. And once you start building these things, it's just like every time you build something new, it's like it changes you. At least that's my experience. Okay?
So, geometric form building is a very enlightening, what's the word? Not enlightening. Well, it is enlightening, but I mean, one of the things is it teaches you about, number one, form. It teaches you about angles. Now, angles are almost the same as angels. And indeed, when you understand music and you understand the relationship of the science behind music as angles, when you understand astrology, the science behind the science behind it is angles. It's all about angles, and that there are certain angles that are acute. There are certain angles that are obtuse. There are angles that are, let's say that again, there are certain angels who are acute, and there are certain angels who are obtuse. little Freudian slip there. Certain angels that are obtuse. There are certain angels that are harmonic, certain angels that are discordant. In music, we hear it. In color and sound, we can see it. We can see it in textures and all of these things. It's all about the relationship of angles, the relationship of angels, which underlie the structure of our universe, because it's all alive and it's all made of things. Well, it's all made of people. That's weird, yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, I just have to say I'm 53 and I'm not dead yet. It's just turned midnight.
Are you having a birthday?
Yeah, I'm having my 53rd revolution here on Revolution Radio. It's prime, isn't it, 53?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm in the prime of my life once again.
Well, happy birthday, but you do realize that, you know, you really have traveled around 64 times.
Oh, how can that be?
Well, because you get your first birthday, you've already gone around once.
Yeah, no, 53, not 63.
No, 53.
Yeah, so 54
it'll
times.
Be 54. That's your 64. No, 54.
Yeah. This is the beginning of my 54th revolution.
No, right. Yes, but that freaked me out because when I was 59, my friend told me that, and I said, so I went from 59 to 60 in a heartbeat, you know, because when you're age one, you've already gone around once.
Well,
so when, you know, I mean, it's always that's saying you've already done it, you know, so you've already gone through 63 years. You're beginning your 64.
I'm having a conversation with Bob White here, and he was talking about his 109-inch copper pyramid, which is a prime number. So that's one aspect of it. And I said, you know, as a sort of esoteric joke, I said, you know, 109, not 108. You know, so that, what's 108? Well, 108 is one quarter of 432, and it's a very sacred number to the Tibetans, and it's also the frequency that activates the Ark of the Covenant, the crystal matrix that drives the plasma arc, which drives the Great Pyramid when it's running properly, in my humble. And it was a bit of a joke, you know. It's like, why would anybody mean the difference between 109 and 108? But what is 109 inches? It's 8 feet. So it's quite a large one. So you could, Bob, is it propped up? Is it, you know, do you, because once you've got the pyramid in your bed, what you want to do is arrange your space to be in the king's chamber position. And again, this is a harmonic relationship, and it's one third of the way along between the apex and the imagined apex below the ground. Or it's one third of the way up. Yes, you could say same thing. Did you ever experience different points, nodes of where the vortex appears, Nancy?
In what? A normal pyramid or the one we were working?
In the one you were working, because it was jacked up, right? It gave space for the entire vortex to be above ground.
Yes, and it was strange because they showed us how to put a tuner in it. And it's almost impossible to explain how this was, but basically on one of the poles that was holding up the circle that then had the pyramid on top of it, they had us put a golden mean. Well, it was weird because it was a spiral of copper, but it was thicker in the middle and then it tapered off, but it was the gold. The ram's horn. And this was we would put on the pole. You would get a tune the and so you'd have a group of people in there, and sometimes if we had a group, we would basically I'd stand there and I'd say, okay, we're tuning, and everybody would just, you know, get real quiet, and when everybody said, okay, that feels good, that's where we would leave it. But if you had one or two,
what would you do with the thing?
You just raise or lower it in the height. In other words, we were working in the lower part of the pyramid, but there was this tuner that was attached to one of the legs holding up the circle, and all it was a copper tubing that was spiral. And depending on where that was within the lower pyramid, based on putting it up and down on the pole, it would change the frequency inside the pyramid.
It's a choke. It's in radio, it's known as a choke. It's a coil, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
So it's a large-scale coil. You only attached to one leg.
They only had us attached to one leg.
And are all the legs driven into the ground?
Yes.
So they're grounded, basically.
Yes, they were 10 foot. They were 10 foot long, and we put them down to the. We had 6 foot above ground.
And then above that was a circular, yeah?
Yes, it was a circle of, the same diameter copper.
Which you bent. How did you bend that? Did you use a pipe bender?
Actually, because it was so big, we didn't have to bend it too much in any one place.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so you could use long sections that would just bend.
We had a guy, like I say, the guy that did all the geometric stuff, and he was welding it as we went. So we would weld the pieces, and then we would get the curve for a 360 circle, so it was a perfect circle.
All right, and then.
But we didn't have to bend it very much because, like I say, we were using such long lengths.
Okay, and so you had this circle, and then. He would weld the junction into the appropriate place, and then you'd have another. And was it 1-inch pipe or like?
No, we were using half-inch pipe.
All right, so that's quite fragile. I mean, I had a half-inch pipe, right, and a pyramid, and I had it in the garden, and it got totally trampled by cows. One day, because they're a hazard here in Scotland. They wander out of farms sometimes. And
this might have been. I'm thinking about it now. I'm just saying.
I think it was
three quarters. Well, let me put it to you this way. Once we got it into the form, it had much more strength because it was in a pyramidic form to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're talking at least inch pipe.
Yeah, it might have been an inch. Yeah. It's been so long since I looked at it, and I'm looking at it in my head, and I'm going half an inch. No, it was inch.
Yeah, this sounds like the stuff that you'd get for an industrial heating system, or the boiler main artery from the thing. Anyway, so and then it came up, and you had a junction at the top,
the entire pyramid was welded. From the apex, the legs coming into the apex was all welded, and then the pyramid itself was welded onto the circle.
All right, and you had some.
So we picked this up. We were picking up the entire circle and pyramid, and put with the poles underneath it to get it to the 6 foot height.
Right, and if you were to just stand it on the ground, where would the apex be?
Well, the apex is about 15 feet above us.
15 feet?
Yeah.
This is big. This is really big, isn't it? This is very big.
big. Yeah, it was pretty big.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this sounds like the copper tubing would have come out of a mansion.
No, well, we just bought it at the hardware store.
All
but
right.
I mean, it was big enough so that when Archangel Gabriel showed up, he showed up on a stallion. And he had plenty of room in there. It wasn't being cramped, you know. It was like, oh,
right.
My God.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, this is
so
good.
I mean, it was, and we'd have dozens of people that would, do ceremonies there.
Excellent.
People were being drawn to it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, from what you said, that as soon as you connected the vortex, it drew something in, and there were two energies that were connected to each other, one needed to go up and one needed to go down. And it's like a kind of cosmic vacuum cleaner, vortex vacuum cleaner. And you switched it on, and that's what happened. The first thing that happened is that it managed to deal with something in the local area. And then it starts bringing in space and time all around it. It's like if you were to take a sheet and get your electric drill and put the electric drill in the middle of the sheet, it starts twirling space and time all around it and drawing itself in.
Absolutely. Now, what due to what I consider timeline changes that I talk about in the book Cosmic Reality that I wrote, that between the 1990s when we did all this and, you know, today, there was a timeline change. And during that interim time, I was given explicit instructions to take it all down. And so it was all completely taken down. Broke my heart to do it, but I would, no, it's got to come down, okay? So I took it down. And then I was probably around in 2011. All of a sudden, I'm like, you got to go back and put up the pyramid. I go, well, you made me take it down. Now I got to put, no, a different one. And this time, they had me put up a tetrahedron and a small one. And
big is that?
That one's very small. It's only, it's about 5.5 feet tall.
All right, so about like maybe 6-7 feet on the side. And that is a tetrahedral form, which is a three-sided pyramid made of all triangles that are the same size and the same length.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the first platonic solid.
Yes.
Oh, these are so good things.
Yeah, after I put this together, you know, following their directions and stuff, they did a tremendous amount of energy work with the grid system in Gaia. And by they, I mean, from time to time, I wouldn't know who I was working with. You know, it was just I was getting messages, we got to do this and that. And they were very specific about talking about stones and minerals. Through circumstance, I have a vast collection of minerals and stones on this property. And they were very specific. They would tell me what they were going to do, and then they would virtually lead me to the stones and minerals that they wanted because they needed those energies. And they would have me always put it in the same spot in the pyramid, which was on right at the north, in the north quadrant, next to one of the legs. And they would change it every time. And it was just, and that went through all of, well, about July of 2011, all the way through December of 2012. They had a series of, I mean, there must have been a dozen different ceremonies they had. And, I mean, some of them, it was very obvious there was ET ships above the property. Those are stories that would make a book in itself, just what happened during that time. But they did make it a tetrahedron this time.
So that's very interesting, because, when was it? I suppose it was about 2002, 2003. I started getting the star tetrahedral form, the Merkaba form, they call it, or Metatron's cube. That's a good
neutral name for it. No, maybe not. Star tetrahedron, which is two tetrahedrons interfused. The trick is, you know, if you can get, imagine one of those in your head actually successfully, each tetrahedron is spinning in an opposite direction. You can, get into, that's what they call the Merkaba, the spaceship. Anyway. Yeah, you bought the ends pretty much. Right. Oh, all right. Well done from Rebot. Wow. Okay. Bob White is talking on the back channel Skype here, and he bought the ends pre-made, which were welded from rebar in a jig. So that's an interesting thing. So he's got like steel ends. There's always restrictions for me. One of the restrictions is I didn't want to use iron, my ends are made basically by flattening the ends of copper. It's a real hillbilly method of doing it, but basically you got to get the jig right, because you've got to get them squashed exactly flat with each other. But you squash the ends in a vise, and you make a flat plate that you then drill, and then you bend it, and then you put a brass bolt through it so that everything bolts together. I've got plans on my website, and I'll build you one if you give me the money.
Well, that's another thing. You know, yeah. I mean, we tell people that they should go out and they should build their own, because they will learn the geometry of it. But the other aspect of it is that anytime anybody messes with this kind of geometry, the geometry is imprinted by whoever messed with it. So if you want to build your own, that's one thing. But if you want to have magic associated with it, you get it from somebody like Jay, who lives in a very magical part of the world, and he is magic himself. So if you get one from him, you're going to have this imbued with energy that you're not going to get if you do it yourself.
It's, thank you very much, Nancy. That's what we call quantum entanglement. And it's like champagne, right? Champagne only comes from a particular area because it's got these particular geometric and vortex energies that imprints itself into the liquid. We have Scotch whiskey that is just built, you know, that they create all around here. And, you know, there's spirit here in this land. So yeah, absolutely. You get quantum entanglement with the copper tubes that have passed through Perron. So there you go. Thanks, Nancy.
Well, go ahead. It goes to this concept I have of doing this People's Pyramid project, because if we just set up a website that gives people options for buying them and options for building them themselves if they wish to do that, just by associating with the same website, you get the entanglement. And I wouldn't ask people to tell me you're doing it. I would just say, look it, once you start if you just start to work off of this website, the website's energy and all the people that are working off of this website will create an entanglement that's worldwide. Just by, you know, joining forces in the ethers. So I really do think that we should probably pursue something like that, because can you imagine, you know, all over the world, people with these little pyramids?
Yeah, you know, that's what we want.
Yeah, all linked together.
A pyramid in every pie. No, hang on, a pyramid in every pasture. Yeah, there you go. It would so improve the energy of the land. It would improve the taste of the food. It would clean the water. It would improve the weather. And I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I'm not making loose claims. The reason that the land is in such a poor state, and that we have to add organic fertilizers and organic fertilizers, and that we have to give it, look, what we're looking for is energy. And if we put more energy into the ground, the ground will supply that energy back to us when we grow food into it. It's a very simple process, and it's electric, and we live in an electric universe. And anyway, the sun is a plasma arc. Meanwhile, back at the pyramid,
Well, the Russians improved.
Exactly. Go on.
You know, there's this guy, gosh, what's his name? I might not even be able to pronounce it.
Something Karyov or something?
Let me see. That's not the right one. Gold, G-O-L-O-D, Alexander. Okay, he's a Ukrainian. He's a defense contractor. And he has built over 20 of them in 8 different sites within Russia, the biggest being 144 feet, which is 14 stories. And this one is, it's not like the one in Egypt. This one is very much taller than the one in Egypt. And one of the things they have found, according to the Russian scientists, is that the taller they are, they actually get better results in these pyramids. But there's 8 sites that these things are in, and they're like all over Russia, but the Ukraine in one. Is one of them, and they're just amazing. But they're made out of
fiberglass and plastic pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there's nothing. They're made of, like, they're not using sacred materials with diamonds and gold, as I would, you know.
No.
You can get, it's great. You can, you know, I know this guy. I can send you to, if you want to spend thousands of dollars, you can get a gold-plated pyramid. With gold-plated crystal forms, that is laboratory-grown crystals that are enclosed in geometric forms that are like star tetrahedrons or octahedrons or icosahedrons or all of them, all stacked one inside the other, made by these amazing experts, welded together. And then plated in gold, and you can get one of these pyramids with a copper capstone, and then a gold-plated set of 5 more pyramids that are form. You know, the thing goes on and on and on, and you know, I know how to build all these things. You know, give me the materials, give me some skilled workers, and I can get you making some amazing things that I learned from the man.
And I highly recommend people take advantage of this. I mean, a lot of people don't have the time to do this. And, you know, the money, they might have the money and not the time. Well, get these things. Put them out there. You know, because you're wasting your money if you're not putting it into something that's going to improve you in every single way you can imagine. I mean, let me take just a second to run down the research, you know, summarize the research that they've actually done with this system of pyramids in Russia. The first thing is the immune system is increased. They'll have seeds that they put them in there for 1 to 5 days, and it shows 30 to 100% increase in yield. The radar, from Russian military radar, they found a column of energy that was rising several miles above the one of the pyramids. The one in Moscow was about a mile and a half, but this one was, you know, even higher. The ozone area in certain places that was having destruction has been fixed if there was a pyramid there. Seismic activity has been decreased from big quakes to little quakes that sort of release the energy buildup in a much more controlled way. Now, one of the weird things was that they had a pyramid complex near where they were pulling out oil, and the oil became lighter by 30%, and it was better. I don't remember the other thing. It was lighter and something else, purer, by about 30% than it had been before the pyramids were born. They took 5,000 people in jails that they gave them salt and pepper that had been put in the pyramid, and they showed that there was much less violence, and overall the people behaved much better than they had before they started this salt and pepper from the pyramid. Potency in pharmaceuticals, if they take an antibiotic and they put it in there, they take it out, it's 1,000 times more powerful than when they put it in there. Radioactive waste placed inside pyramids decreased the radioactivity. There's spontaneous charging of capacitors, like a capacitor,
battery, yeah.
Changes in the water, like they could take water that was inside the pyramid and go down to 40 degrees below zero, and it would not freeze. But if they accidentally hit it, all of a sudden it turned into a block of ice. So these are just some of the stuff that we know about. I suspect there's a lot of things that we don't know about that's happening inside these pyramids.
Now, that's an interesting thing. The last thing that you just spoke about was that the water would remain liquid in an improbable situation.
Exactly.
And the percussion caused the water to become like normal water. It had somehow gained a vibration, or a standing wave of a vibration, that held it in the liquid state, in an abnormal state. That's very interesting, isn't it? And then percussion resonated it. But they were all, the pyramid made them sing. That's it.
Yep. And they've also found that around the pyramid, the weather is precipitating. The weather's coming in, it's supposed to be bad thunderstorms, lightning and stuff. By the time it gets into the vicinity of the pyramid, it goes on either side of it.
Yeah. Okay, so here's an interesting thing, right? Action of points. When we look at science, if you were to take the machine they call the Van de Graaff generator, it's got a rubber strap that is rotated like it's like a barber's shaver strap. Showing my age again. That deposits electrons distant from the Earth plane, and so it builds up a static charge. It builds up a charge of thousands and thousands of volts, a very few amps. But you can make massive sparks with these things. And basically, the electricity has a tendency to go towards something that is pointed. If it can find something that's pointed, it will gather there. Ah, so let us gather at the next point on the other side of the top of the hour. Dear JP, happy birthday. Anyway, hello. So, that was fun. I just having a quick conversation with my girlfriend. I badly spelled something. I said, don't be offended. It might be a typo. Here we are back in Journeys, and we're talking about one of my favorite birthday themes, which is geometric forms. I'm sitting here actually, but I have a clock, that is, it's a little kind of, it's like, well, right. Okay. So there are companies that make trophies, and, this is like from one of these companies, and it's advertising a radio station. So I got a little sticker on it, but what it is, it's quite amazing. It's a tetrahedron made out of quite a heavy alloy. Might be steel. Let me just see if it's iron. Does a magnet stick to it? No, it's an alloy. Anyway, so it's a tetrahedron, and then inside that tetrahedron is a gimbal. And what a gimbal is if you can imagine the machine that they built in Contact, or indeed if you're a fan of what was that? Bill Brockbrader, you'll know exactly what the looking glass is because he described it perfectly. Anyway, so inside that is a little clock, and I was given this like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, by DJ Buddha in Edinburgh, and I never wind it. Anyway, so I took that. I was looking for an old clock because I thought, oh, let's do the old Yuri Gera thing. I actually took a camera, a broken video camera, and an old mobile phone, neither of which worked. But as I picked this device up, because it's inside the gimbal is a clock, and it's a little globe as well. So this is like the planet Earth model thing of the way it can spin, and it's quite a fascinating little thing. Anyway, so this is a little thing that I've got on my desk here, and it pleases me to have geometric forms around me in my space. It's kind of like, I don't know if anyone ever saw Babylon 5, this race they called the Minbari. They had these bone shaped heads and they were all bald. But they had these pyramids everywhere. And actually, I managed to find some in a charity shop. The actual pyramid, glass, lamps that they used. Pyramid shaped glass oil lamps. Beautiful little things. And I got a couple left. They haven't lasted, obviously, but they're oil lamps. And, they had the aliens. They had these, pyramids and geometric forms and colored lights, in their environment. I thought that's such a cool thing. It was very, like, of the future. I don't know what you're like, Nancy, but I imagine that you might have similar sorts of things.
People come into my house and say, "Is this a museum?" Because I have so many weird things hanging, you know, from shamanistic to Celtic to, you know, New Age. There's sage. There's. I mean, not only do I have geometric things, but because I've got so many minerals and rocks, it's like there are different configurations of them that have different reasons for being, and sometimes I don't even know what they are. Around the property, they would have me bring rocks out into the property to lay out grid systems. You know, and this is an acre of land in the, you know, in the middle of Miami, basically. And it's just when you get these little gifts like that, thank spirit, thank source. Because A, why would somebody build something like this? And B, why would it end up in your hands? Because it was supposed to be in your hands. And when you look at these things, this is what people kind of like underestimate, is that every symbol that you see actually contains a vast amount of information that is programmed into your subconscious. And that programming, actually, if you're open to it and you're flexible and you don't have fear, I mean, a lot of what we talk about on these shows really is dictated because we're either too old to worry about dying young, or we feel more protected by our spiritual guidance and guides and our spiritual knowledge than we do of the 3D, you know, solid state security. I think that as when I was younger, I probably was, I didn't worry about stuff. I didn't, because I didn't know how fragile life is. But as you get older and you confront things like a quarter of a million people dying in one morning because of a tsunami, or you think of 1,300 people that die in a hurricane in New Orleans, or you think about almost 3,000 people that die in the towers on 9/11. When you see these massive, massive instantaneous changes of people, you begin to become fearful of what you thought was okay, which is 3D reality. So if you're stuck in that fear thing, you really can't have the freedom to listen. And I know the more I give into believing that spirit is, I always believed I was protected when I was younger. But then you catch reality and you get frightened. But now that I'm older and I will be honest, the writing of the book Cosmic Reality brought back a lot of the fundamentals that I had known when I was younger, then somehow lost them. And then I got them back through the exercise of writing the book. And so now my people have said to me, "Why don't you have any fear?" And it's because, and I realized it just today reading something to Dolores Cannon. She was talking about how fear is debilitates the individual. They can't access the other side. And it's a total belief, a total feeling of being protected. Whatever happens, happens. I'm within the spirit worlds, and nothing happens. Everything is forever there. It just is change. So if you really sort of like just say, do I want to stay in this 3D stuff and worry about stuff? And remember, 99% of everything you worry doesn't happen. Or do I want to believe that there's a guardian angel that's with me all the time, and that I have access to higher knowledge, whether it's coming from my subconscious, the conscious mind of my soul, or it's coming from angelic creatures or garden gnomes that, you know, happen to be associated with a tomato plant. And that's what I love, is that supposedly every plant has a diva, a fairy, whatever you want to call them, a gnome that's associated with it, a nature spirit that's associated with the plant. So the more plants you put around you, the more nature spirits you're actually inviting into your home. You have to give in to the sci-fi fantasy world of metaphysics that says everything is fine. There is no God, there's no bad, there's just experience and knowledge and enlightenment. And, I don't even know how I got onto that. Where was I going? Somebody must have needed to hear it, or maybe I needed to say it. But it's the safety thing, is that to give in to the energies that you're feeling and listen to what we're talking about, that it's all geometry, and we're talking science. It is a belief that the science and the spirit is proving the spiritual world. Another weird thing about the pyramids is that in one of the, I think it was that they had like three or four pyramids in this one area. But there was more than one. And around these pyramids, they started getting plants that were growing that they did genetic testing, and it was actually plants that had gone extinct, thousands of years before. So, what's that about? So there's so much magic out there if you just let yourself see it. And you can begin by just experiencing pyramids. You will be healthier for it. You will be emotionally healthier for it. You will, and the more people that get into it, the more powerful they become. And of course, if we add our Oregon generators to them, we will have a really interesting system.
So yeah, and this is the thing. You talked about shungite.
Oh yeah.
Last night. And, of course, I went straight over to eBay and ordered me some. And that's going in the next batch of Orgonite, because it sounds like it's the surefire energy cleansing vehicle. It must be the buckyballs.
I think
so. This stuff has got buckyballs. And I will explain that in a minute. And it's a form of carbon, and I'd say it was almost like a diamond, in the way that it is organized. It is like diamond is to coal. It's a formation of carbon that is formed into, it's a form that's known as the buckyball, because it's made out of 60 little nodes. What I mean by a form, somebody asked me this the other day, because the word is bandied around the internet and New Age circles and all of this stuff, form and formlessness. What does form mean? We talk about the form of something as it's like the underlying skeleton. Like, for instance, if you were to sit cross-legged with your back straight, you kind of make a tetrahedron. Because the point of your where your tailbone is, to the tips of your knees, to the tip of your head, creates the tetrahedral form. So when you look at something and you can see the underlying form of it, you will then be able to relate the underlying form of something to the underlying form of something else. And each ray, these things that I talk about, has an underlying form. Each ray has an underlying color, something that permeates through it, and it gives it its redness or its greenness or its blueness, for instance. So every geometric form has its energy and its quality. Now, what I mean by quality is... It's blueness, it's greenness, it's ness, the nessness, isness of it. These are philosophical words that do not work in the English language very well, because the English language is a command language for robots. That's the problem. That's the problem, really, with the English. Here we all are there. Meanwhile, I've got Nancy. I've got Wally. Hey, Wally. What's up, mate? Unmute.
I had to unmute. I've been talking about my cataracts. And a good friend of mine sent me a little hologram medallion with organite in it. He said, well, I don't know if this will help your cataracts, but he says it might help your dreams, it'll help your gas mileage. Wear it around your neck, put it under your pillow when you sleep. And I received it on Saturday. I had wonderful dreams last night. I somewhat remember them, and quite interesting. And today, the word color kept coming to my mind. And I have a book on healing with colors. And a while back, when I first started getting the cataracts, I was playing with it. In fact, I'm wearing my glasses right now that have flashing lights with the color of lemon and a greenish color. I can't remember exactly what color they call it because I can't read the book right at the moment. But I remember what I did. So what I've done is I've cut them to fit inside the glasses, and then I have these lights. It doesn't matter if your eyes are open or they're closed. And where I'd gotten was this Dr. Roan. He has a letter out called A Second Opinion, and he was talking about healing with colors. And that just kind of sparked it again, saying, oh, wow, get your color book out, you know. So I've been playing around with colors, but, you know, fantastic conversation. Nancy, I do have a pyramid here. I built it out of conduit that they use for running wires through factories and different things like this. That's half-inch conduit. When my finances pick up and I can drive up to the local Home Depot or Lowe's or whichever, I want to make it out of copper, remove the zinc-plated in copper. But what I did is I took copper wire and went around the base of it. I was talking with Jay here a while back about it, and he says, well, do you have it grounded? I says, well, I'm up in my loft, my library loft up here. And he says, well, take it to the grounding pin of an outlet. So that's what I have done. And you
didn't do it to the live pin, did you?
No, I did it to the ground pin. I mean, I'd have probably lit up like a Christmas tree if I'd have done it to the other one.
That might be fun. I wonder what would that do, because you'd get a radiant 50 hertz. No, it might probably wouldn't. Yeah, anyway.
But I've been doing Kundalini practices in my, raising my Kundalini in my pyramid. And since I put this little medallion of organite and hologram, I find that I'm going deeper. And in fact, I think it was last week on the show, I was talking about the aluminum street signs, the lamb's wool, and the cotton. And so I think someone calling in saying, hey.
Yeah, that's a capacitor, which is an organ accumulator, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I've been kind of playing around being stuck at the house here, and I have a very beautiful house on the river here in Michigan, so it's not that much. I don't get cabin fever because there's always something to do, whether it's cutting wood or something. But I've had a lot of time to meditate, pick up energies. I enjoyed Sean's program with Ori on it today. In fact, I was trying to send him a message, but it wasn't going through. But
well, a telepathic message.
Pardon?
A telepathic message.
Yes, I was trying. my grandparents come from the Ukraine, and my grandmother always called me Vaju. So what I was doing is I was passing that along to see if that came out in any of his words, and if it did, I was going to call in to Steve and say, "Hey, put me on. That's me." but it just fantastic show. And connecting with people across the world is just fantastic. I mean, connecting with you, Jay, has just been a wonderful thing. The knowledge you have, and capturing a little bit of that's what kind of put me into making a pyramid doing a few other things. But listening to you, Nancy, was fantastic about what you did with the pyramid and the circle and 6 feet up. I want to put a pyramid down by the river. I want to put one on my back property, back behind my orchard. I grow goji berries and wolfberries. There's something calling me to put a pyramid on the back of the property and then plus one down by the river. So, you know, it's just been a fascinating program. I enjoy listening.
You know, do you use dowsing rods, Wally?
I made those dowsing rods, but they've disappeared.
Maybe you need to make another set because probably someone's borrowed them. Maybe there's a little business for you. Take coat hangers, make dowsing rods. Boom.
Yeah. They're around here somewhere. I've just misplaced them. I thought I left them in the pyramid, but I've misplaced them.
Well, okay. So you've got the idea to see again what I'm talking about. You're growing berries. You're trying to capture as much solar energy as you can within the berries, aren't you?
Correct.
So what you want to do is to optimize the flow of nutrient particles and the exhalation, the waste particles from the plants and everything like that. So that's what pyramids do. That if you put them, if you were to find out where, do you know where your ley lines flow?
No, I don't. But, you know, I was going to get into that when you guys were talking about making pyramids like a pyramid club where people are, you know, around the world build these pyramids of finding the latitude, the longitude, the ley lines, and just see where all these pyramids connect at.
That would create a quantum entanglement as well.
Yes.
Which is...
It would especially do it if they were all using a pendant from the same source.
That's right.
You know, if you know the dangling pendants, the
yes.
canes? Okay.
Yes.
And because this, I mean, I understand this, and I have a thing about money. I don't like it. It's dirty to me. I have this thing. I got to get over it because everybody says to me, well, money is energy. Energy, energy. Think of it as energy. So I'm trying to restructure my brain so that we can start this project going, and the only way we can do it is by generating a certain amount of energy. So what I'm suggesting here is that, first off, would you please give us exactly where we have to go to donate money to you, Jay? Because I know that if we can get some money to you to actually start playing with the orgone, and especially with the shungite in it, that we'll have a product that will have because we're going to support you in building it, first off, you have the entanglement. Second of all, once you've got it built, you know, and people can access this, they're all going to be getting the same kind of initial structure. But even if we don't go that far, to just locate where it is that our guides want this system to be built, if we were all using from the same source. In other words, I have these things here. But if you can find somebody that you get a good source price on them and then offer them to the public, everybody will be getting from you, and we're just randomly doing it because you're the guy here, right? But anybody could do it, but you're the guy here, and I happen to think you're full of magic. Plus, I know you're in Scotland, and you're not far from Finland. What? Findhorn.
Findhorn.
Findhorn. Okay, so which is a magical place to begin with. So we'll find a distributor where we can get decent, you know, pendulums, and then we'll just offer them to people. And based on those pendulums, they go out and they just watch it, the yes or no. We'll tell you how to work them. And you go find where it is that your guides, your spirit guides, your angelic beings want you to put the pyramid in the most, you know, the best place for it. And then you have, because what we're trying to do is trying to find in some energetic way how to bring people together without knowing who they are.
You, Nancy, you know, it's funny you bring that up because that's exactly what I was wanting to speak of next, is to get something, a source that is a connecting source, you know,
exactly.
You know, between me and you, between me and you, and me and Jay, and me, you, and Jay, you know, and you slowly build a little piece, because I was going to ask Jay at some point this summer when I do, is to contact him, and I would send him something and have him send me something, so there's a connection there. I mean, we do have a connection over the internet here, but that is a personal connection of something in the pyramid, in your pyramid of mine, and something of my, of yours in mine, and the same thing with Nancy, you know, and you get all these people together, everybody sends a little something, and that's gonna connect that silver thread or
but you don't have to, you don't have to send things back and forth. All you need is one source. And, you know, I vote that Jay be the source.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, because that's a magical land there where
exactly.
JP's at.
And he's got this magical show. I mean, you know, he brings people together by nature. And that seems to be his job. So let's take it a step further. You know, I'm going to go, if Jay will give us the information where we can donate to him, I'm going to give you some money, whatever I can send. I don't know what it'll be. It probably won't be much, but it will be an intent. It will be saying, yes, Jay, I want to do this with you. And if everybody else out there just puts a little to get it going, enough of a stash just to buy the pendulums and then resell them so that we've got more money for you to make the next step, or maybe you'll get enough money so you can start the Oregon generator.
Okay,
so
well, look, brilliant. I've already found a Ukrainian source on eBay, so they should be kind of crawling their way towards me. Or however long it takes for the war to get over with in the Ukraine, as it's the only source of Shunga, and it might be the reason that there's a war there.
I have not underestimated that. There's also, for me, in that series of pyramids, plus the Ukraine itself. I mean, I can argue, and you've heard me argue, that from a virtual 3D, because I, you know quite a bit about the Russian Empire, that the Crimean is Russian, not Ukrainian. And, you know, I can argue it that way, but on the other side of it, why now? Why is there a synchronicity between all of a sudden me, who has been in this business for decades, you know, finding something that I didn't know existed, and that now everybody knows about it? I mean, it's all over the place. And all of a sudden you've decided you're going to have a war in the very area where maybe the most important mineral on the earth is? Forget gold, forget silver. I mean, this thing is big. So who knows? But grab up as much as you can. So I'm going to give you some money to grab up as much as you can.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to grab some. And what I'll do is like you say, I've got, I can make these little crystal pendants. They're a double terminated quartz. They have a tiny coil and a pair of magnets, and what the purpose is that the coil makes the thing tuned, the magnets squeeze the crystal to make it vibrate, and that's how it works. And these things will sing, and then I will attach some shungite to that, so that the shungite will then just keep everything completely positive. And it'll just sink anything that'll, you know, you won't be able to have a negative thought around this thing.
Yes.
What is shungite, Jay?
We were talking about it on the show last night. It's a mineral, and it's a form of carbon that is only found in one place, somewhere near where there's a war right now. And this is what we're saying, you know, this is weird that it's, you know, but anyway, shungite is a material that you can use, and it absorbs. Nancy, tell us what your experience of it is. I'm just blabbing. You know, I looked
My experience with it is it transmutes negative energy and will enhance positive energy. And what happened, Wally, was that a friend of mine came over, and I don't have Wi-Fi in my area. And I want to keep it out of here, but she's got a Wi-Fi system, so she hooks it up, and as soon as the dang thing came on, I'm like, whoa, I cannot handle this energy. I'll put up with it during the day, but at night I can't sleep in this stuff. It was so dirty. And she looked at me, and she looked down. Now, this girl has been a psychic telephone, been on the psychic telephone lines, and she's done over 90,000 readings.
Wow.
She's the real thing. And so she looks down at her hand, and she takes off the ring she's got on, and she walked over to the Wi-Fi, and she stuck it over the antenna. And all of a sudden, the room filled with this, just sweet, sweet energy. And I was like, whoa, what was that? And she says, it's called shungite. And I had just come across this stuff not 2 weeks before. And all of a sudden, she brings it to me from, up north. And the next thing I know, it's all in my house. And I took it, and I put a ring on, and I will never take the thing off. They're going to bury me with it. And the second thing was that I got a pendant that she had of it, and I wrapped it on the dog's collar because the dog is 17 years old, has a fused bath, arthritis, liberal. I mean, she's 90-something years old in dog terms, and she had been failing. And I put this thing on her, and the next day she was doing so well, I forgot to give her medication until the afternoon. And that was 2 weeks ago, and this dog is still doing well. Now, that I don't think she's going to live forever, but the difference in this animal, and the only thing that changed was this energy. And then you read the enormous amount of research that they've actually done in it. And then you feel it. And if you go to the, if you go, just put in Google, shungite, it's spelled a couple of different ways, but,
S-H-U-N-G-I-T-E is what I spelled.
Yes.
And, it's a black material, right? It reminds me of this. Hang on, let's see if I can get this.
Would you spell it again, Jay?
S-H-U-N-G-I-T-E. The obelisk. Black. shut up.
Hey, that's the way I feel about it, to be honest with you.
I have, me too. I Googled it, because you said that I had never seen it before. I Googled it, and I looked down at the picture, and I felt the energy of it, and I had one of those moments.
absolutely.
I'm gonna have to make that into a jingle. Yeah.
Not to brag or anything, but when I was real young, my grandparents told me that I'm somebody in the Ukraine. Whether it's a prince or something, I was very young. They've both passed on now, but it was something. And I really need to look into it because I know that I still have family over there in the Ukraine.
Wally, I'm not impressed unless you own the mine.
Nancy, I've just always felt a connection, and I was talking to a friend of mine because I was really depressed when they went into war there and I couldn't figure out what's going on here. And this friend of mine told me that you're feeling energy from over there. So I really need to make a connection over there, I think.
I've been a student of the Russians, and I actually wrote a book called Battle Captains. It's like 600 pages. And the Russians that are part of the book are primarily from the Ukraine. I mean, I have such an affinity for the area. And then it didn't dawn on me immediately until I said, where does this come from? And she said, Russia, the Ukraine. And I went, oh my God. So yeah, Wally, I'm honored to know you. If you've got a link to the Ukraine there, they are amazing people.
The last name from the Ukraine is Heliberta. And I just need to go in and search out who is still there. I know I still have, because both my grandparents came from there.
Well, yeah, but they lost, a lot of people during World War II. Whole towns, whole families were eradicated. It was without the Russians in World War II, we'd be having SWAT stickers all over the place. And people don't know that it was the Russians that destroyed the vast amount of German divisions. The United States and the Allies was nothing compared to what the Russians did. You know, all of this antagonism towards the Russians is just the dark cabal of BS, because if you meet a Russian, an American, I don't know about the British, but if an American meets a Russian, there is a kindred spirit. They have a, there's some kind of an energy that it's just compatible. One of my very sweetest friends is a Russian that, I met her because she was at the chiropractor. She runs the chiropractor office, but every time I see her, it's like I just have this connection, and I think most people do that are American and Russian, but they don't want you to know that, because if the Americans and the Russians got together, the rest of the world would be like, peaceful.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, it's fascinating to listen to you on the pyramids, and Jay inspired me to build a pyramid. And I just feel that connection. And Jay, I was really surprised you knew what a barber's sheath was, looking at your picture.
You would be surprised. I have many incarnations. When my son was born, I was highly clean shaven, and all that grew on my face were my eyebrows.
I actually saw a picture of you, the weird child, the family, and you were completely shaven, and I was like, oh my God, because when you see somebody with a beard, you have a different picture of what's underneath it.
It's always disappointing. I know.
Well, because it is sort of disappointing, because with a beard, you always think of this long, powerful jaw.
And then you see the reality.
A regular person is like, oh, okay, keep the beard.
Well, you
know. Oh gosh.
Go ahead, Tom Holly.
Oh, I was just going to say, Nancy, when I first listened to Jay, I wasn't friends on Skype with him yet, and when I got that picture of him, it was exactly the voice I heard. When I looked at that picture, I said, he matches his voice. I like that. Because I always try to put a face to a voice.
Well, I first time I saw, got him on Skype, and it was his picture, because I didn't know who he was. I was just on a radio show, and he was there, and it was like, oh, this guy's cool. Yeah. But, yeah, I want that information because I'm serious about this. We need to... start moving. We got to get you some funds to just start having enough money so that you can start building these pendulums, and then we'll know where to put these things. That's actually how the one on my property got there. A woman who was very well-known psychic, and she was visiting. And I came home one night. Well, I used to work a night shift, and I came home, and the guides were saying, you got to build something. And she woke up, and I actually made her go out to the yard, and she had a pendulum. It had an amethyst point on the bottom of it, And she's still asleep. She's got coffee in one hand, cigarette in the other, and the pendulum's dangling. I mean, she had a cigarette and a coffee in one hand, and the pendulum dangling from the other one. And she walks all over, and I'm getting like, oh, my God, And finally she says, right here. It was like, okay. So, that's how I actually positioned the first one we built.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's fascinating, the people we run, we make connections with.
I've got, I might have inherited the ideal situation, because the original pyramid is above the water table, isn't it? And it would, or it used to be. And I have a deck outside that has it's quite large. It's about maybe 15 feet square, and I could easily build a pyramid inside that, and I may well, actually, because that's going to be a particularly grounding thing, having water underneath it, isn't it? That's going to create a really strong potential plate foundation.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the ley lines, if you follow the ley lines and where you see, particularly in Britain, I can't remember the guy's name that did the original plotting of the ley lines, but every time a ley line would cross, they would put a marker, they were putting these markers because they were traveling the ley lines, they were following the ley lines. Now, you're coming along, and all of a sudden, you can't read the ley line anymore because there's a water source underneath it that's confusing you. So they would put a marker up to be able to say, okay, this is a confusing point. It was like a signpost. And, oh, okay, there's a water underneath here. And they found more than should be just chance that at every major ley line there was a water source underneath it. Where they cross. So yeah, if you've got water underneath you like that, you'd have an amazing yeah, that's an amazing place to do it.
You see, go ahead, buddy.
These goji berries that I've got an area where I got 18 plants, and it's kind of square, and I have to put netting over it because the birds love it. Deer don't like goji berries. I asked my buddy that gave me the plants, what about bear? He says, well, we don't have bear in Utah, so I can't tell you about that, but they probably will like them. So I have to put netting over to keep the birds out. And I was thinking, well, I'll just stretch it across, flat across the top. But, you know, as I'm sitting thinking, what energy could I give those goji berries then to build a pyramid?
Wow. Hey, you don't even need to build a pyramid. Unless you've got the huge amount of material, but you can just stick up a pole and have four crystals. That's how Frank makes his pyramids.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you. Yeah, well, I was going to tell you that. What you do is now, how tall do these berry bushes get?
They get about 5 feet, maybe 6 feet. I have to keep them trimmed. If I keep them trimmed, they won't grow thorns. If they go wild, they'll grow thorns. And I have posts. I have them set in between posts because I'm running wires to wire them up so they don't, you know, they stand up like grapevine. And, I was just thinking of coming off the top of the four corner posts with a copper pyramid and putting a crystal at, pardon?
That would be brilliant. The way you do it, Wally, the sides of the pyramid would be, as I said, it's about 95.4%. I can give you the exact figure. You probably got the figure in my document there. Did you follow my instructions then?
Yes, I did.
Oh man, excellent. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, excellent. I did. I capture all the knowledge I can from you, Jay.
Okay, what Jay started telling you about the crystals, okay, and the reason I asked you how tall they are is that we're such great manifestors, and our real job on this planet is to figure out how to work energies. And if you look at what, because you said that you had about a square, how big is this square that you got these plants in?
Probably 12 to 14 foot. Square.
Okay. To get a pyramid with a pole, you're talking about a huge, a very tall pole. Okay.
Boy, when I create a statement in my neighborhood.
yeah, but you don't have to do that, okay? Because when you set, if you take and you decide, okay, it's 18 feet, you just make it 18 feet. Make a square, okay? And put in that square, quartz crystals. I would use quartz in this case because it's going to give you all the frequencies. But put quartz crystals that are, and you're going to feel it. You're going to stick them in the ground and you're going to kind of like push them until they kind of lock. And you're going to do it in the four corners and you're going to make an energetic pyramid over these plants. And you can do whatever you need to do inside of that energetic pyramid. But you don't actually have to have a pole indicating the apex. You can set the apex energetically by setting the pyramids.
Right, the crystals.
The crystals, I'm sorry, yes. You understand that?
Yes, yes, I do. You know, Nancy, you seem to know a lot about crystals. One day, I was in my bathroom, and I had my crystals. And I don't have a window in one of my bathrooms, and it was dark in there. And I set the crystals down, and one hit, two of them rubbed together when I set them down. And they came up, and it was kind of like an orange spark. So what I did is I have two flat sides, and I took those two crystals and rubbed them real fast against each other. And they glowed orange.
Wow.
I thought that was, I thought, now how can we capture that energy? If they, by doing that, by rubbing them together, I'm getting an orange glow, you know, where I was rubbing them at. Of course, it kind of radiated through the whole crystal. I thought, wow, how can we capture this energy?
Well, we do capture it. Everything, Jay, I think he's talking piezoelectric. When you're doing that, you're creating piezoelectric energy, because anytime you put crystal under pressure or you snap it or you, it gives you a charge of electricity, which is so stable that it is what is used in all of our watches and electronics. Okay, so... But the idea that it was glowing orange, I've never done that. I've never seen that. But the reason that it might have an orange glow to it was that there might have been something in the crystal that was taking on that glow, that color. That's the only thing I could think of.
They're clear quartz crystals. They're like Terminator crystals, probably 5-6 inches in height, and one is about 3 inches around, and the other was about 2 inches around, inch and a half to 2 inches around.
Yeah, interesting. Jay, have you ever seen?
I've only seen it's a kind of bluish color when I strike crystals together, which is always a great fun. Here's a great thing, kids. get a couple of crystals, not Auntie New Age's best quartz crystals, but she may have a couple of just kind of rough ones that she wouldn't mind, being banged together. And basically, if you go to a really darkened cupboard or something, somewhere it's pitch dark, let your eyes adjust, and then you smack the crystals together, you'll see them light up. And this is part of the piezo phenomenon. It's like lightning inside the crystal. It's fascinating. And that's the energy. And you can make your cigarette lighter does this every day, you know. When you hit it with a little hammer, it's called the piezoelectric effect, as Nancy was saying. And it's like a crystal is a lattice, and it's like a sponge for electrons. And if you squeeze that sponge, it'll emit some electrons, like sponge will squeeze out the water. Now, likewise, when the thing is released, the electrons will flow back into the space. But during that period, they've been sent out and they come back. And that's exactly how a microphone works, or indeed how a speaker works, just the opposite direction.
Also, in order to generate, it's the pressure of the resin that is putting always that pressure on the quartz that keeps it in a continual charge that keeps the generator running.
Now the tip of a crystal is positive, and the rugged bottom edge is the negative. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I always ask them.
Yeah, because they can be different. I mean, what if you got a double terminated? Where are you then?
Right. That's but I was rubbing them together. I wasn't striking them. I was rubbing them against each other up and down.
Yeah. But still, you were putting pressure.
Okay. All right.
It's pressure.
You know, in your PA system, in your stereo, in your mobile phone, you have the little thing they call a buzzer, the squeaker, your tweeter. All of these things are made with a piece of crystal, wired up and applied electricity to. They emit sound. They will emit things. They will emit vibration because you can electrically squeeze them as well as physically squeeze them. And it's a direct relationship opposite. You know, if you If you physically squeeze them, you get the energy out. If you electrically squeeze them, you get the motion out. And it's a direct relationship. And that's how you can make a weighing scale, for instance, and sense the pressure. So
another interesting thing about the crystals, quartz crystals, is the reason that, first off, it's silicon dioxide, which is like 76% of everything on Earth is silicon dioxide. And if you look at the reason that you get the piezoelectric effect, it's because it's got a spiral molecular structure to it. And that spiral is identical to the DNA spiral.
That's interesting you say that, Nancy, because this friend of mine has sent me this little pendant with the argon. There's a printed of a picture of a tree with the roots and then the branches up on top. And with my cataracts, I can't see the picture that well. But he said in the printing, that's, they were spirals in there and S curves in, and that was in the printing of the tree, the hologram type printing in the tree. So it's interesting you talk about spirals because in this pendant, is the same thing with, like I said, the organite inside it. Just a few pieces of it, because he said you feel the little points. He said that there's pieces of organite inside that. So, you know, right. It's interesting. So,
I mean, you can really go mental with this. You could have a quartz crystal up there with a light on a pole that changes color through the rainbow slowly through the day. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, you could go really mental. You could have crystals on the sides of this pyramid, you know, long double terminated crystals with coils on the side of them. And you could have pyramids on each corner. You could have octahedrons on each corner and have separate pendants hanging on the different corners. And like you say, on one side, you could have a large coil, which you could slide up and down so that you could tune the pyramid.
Yes, very interesting.
So many things.
Thank you, Jay.
That's all right. I mean, I want to see these things popping up all over the world because I know that they're already there. You know, we're already on a planet that has pyramids all over this. So if you create one, that causes a resonance with the local one, wherever it might be.
Exactly.
Nancy.
If we have the you know, if we have the entanglement of all of these being connected energetically, it would just be anybody that happened to have the pyramid got together to do a meditative with the group, I mean, the power would be just astounding. Because Earth would vibrate with the whole thing. I mean, these pyramids are powerful because you're working with Gaia. With the Earth. And Gaia is a conscious being. And, you know, that's kind of a fundamental thing you gotta get to if you wanna get to the fifth dimension, is you gotta understand that Gaia is the local God. And if you can't treat Gaia with total respect and work with her, you're fighting a losing battle. Because this is Gaia's experiment. We're part of it. But, I do believe that she's a conscious entity and that pyramids just help connect us to the energy field that is Gaia. We're energy field. She's energy field. It's all energy.
It's all electric, you see, and we live in an electric universe, and this is why... So my theory is if you have a pyramid, it creates a point, and a point is where energy gathers, and... Where energy gathers, it creates a transfer portal. So, for instance, the sky needed to discharge its energy, it can do so in a violent form, thunder and lightning, or it could discharge its energy slowly through a series of points or pointed objects like pyramids, which will discharge the cloud's energy and also charge up the pyramid at the same time. Especially if you have it sitting above a body of water, which is grounded and which acts as a ground plane. So, it works for everybody. It helps the planet keep its atmosphere in balance. Because that's why one of the reasons that weather's messed up is because of the electricity. It's all about electrics. It's not about water. It's not about temperature. It's about electrics. And, we need to get that in our minds. You know, we feel a feeling in our hand. It's not about pain. It's about electrics. Nancy.
And electrics come with magnetics and with gravity. It's the whole key to everything. And everything is based on the geometry.
Gravity got a hold on me, baby. But yes, gravity and geometry takes us back to angles, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, sir.
Yes. Interesting.
So
thank you very much for all the information that I've gotten today. I see the show is just about, you know, there's about 2 minutes left. So, Jay, thank you very much. Nancy, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Wally. We really appreciate your input. And,
we'll
you know, stay in touch because we want to do this People's Pyramid Project.
Love, compassion, and peace.
Much love.